Han har gættet dig og lager, hvis han ikke skal lovske. Han har snus tag ved det, så er det noget, så han har så. Han har så et gæst, så han har så.
Our people were covering portions of what is now 8 southern states, and their population was estimated to be around 45,000. At that time, they were recognized as the largest and the most powerful nation east of the Mississippi River.
Sound of Cherokee. Cherokee Indians and Cherokee, North Carolina.
We have a total today of 56,000 acres of land in this area, and all of this was purchased by our people from the state of North Carolina at $40 per acre, and this land was accumulated over a long period of years. Now today we have just one deed for the land, and this is in the name of the Eastern Band of Cherokee Indians.
In this small part of the once great Cherokee nation, 4,000 Cherokee people still live, still walk the mountain paths and along the few paved roads, still fish the mountain streams, still work at old and ancient crafts, and more at modern industry. Still worship the Christian God, still govern themselves democratically, and still live the watchword of peace. An 85-year-old Cherokee woman recalls,
"I could follow my grandma's sister. I used to go with her when she go hunt the roots and everything to say. She's old. Then she used to tell me a story, a little bit, and what kind of medicine to get. Somebody was hurting somewhere, and he told me to get this kind of medicine to make an herbs. I learned from her, you know. I used to love old people, but they don't now."
A Cherokee man with several years of college, bills with some of the young men.
"For one thing, a lot of them have dropped out of school, and a lot of them have no other way to get an education or acquire a skill. So I think that in order to make good citizens, like I've been taught since I was a child, is to reach our youth. Well, I'm kind of proud of the boys that we have had over the past year. I've been up there, and I've been gratified by seeing boys leave, go out with four-year scholarships to industrial schools and other technical schools, and also I've seen one or two go off to colleges. And we had one boy that particularly I'm proud of, because when this boy first came here, he couldn't have held a job anywhere in the United States. His attitude and his educational levels were low. And I talked to this boy several times. He began listening to me, and he turned out to be one of the top corpsmen we've had there. And he went to resident worker school. He made exceptional grades, and he came back, and he is now one of the staff."
A Cherokee mother has hope in her son.
"My son wants to be a doctor when he grows up, as he has often told me, and I wish that it would stay in his mind when he grows up."
And Cherokee boys have plans.
"I'm in the fifth grade, and I'm going on even to college.
I'm in the fourth grade. I want to be a pilot and fly a jet."
The Cherokee people dreaming, working, building, and worshiping in this mountain land that has been their home for 500 years or more. Here in a wooden Baptist church in Birdtown, only a mile and a half from the busy highway west to Fontana, a Cherokee man preaches in his native tongue. But the Cherokee language, seldom used in the modern 20th century world, is disappearing. from the heritage of this noble people. Some of the older Cherokee people still do not speak English. They may understand the language, but do not speak it. In those homes, the children and the grandchildren learn to speak their own tongue from an elder. And sing it. And read it.
Do you kta tegana na in? Na de gal stop the score washa do don in. Na sko kai shine u ke da liyan u da wat is tota.
For the Cherokee are the only American Indian tribe to have their own written language, invented by the wise Sequoia. There are many stories of why Sequoia set out to create a written form of the Cherokee language, but we do know he devoted 12 years or more in the challenge against the ridicule and outright opposition of family and friends. Sequoia, born of a full-blooded Cherokee mother and a white father, probably Nathaniel Gist, a famous soldier and scout, lived his childhood with his mother in a Cherokee settlement. As a young man, he went with other Cherokee youths and the leader, Juno Luska, to aid Andrew Jackson in the fight against the Creeks at the Battle of Horseshoe Bend. In negotiations with the federal government, Sequoia represented the Cherokee time after time, and in treaties broken by the political change and the unkept promises of the government, too far from the Cherokee hills and valleys. But of all his works among the Cherokee people, none was such a giant step as the invention of the alphabet or syllabary. First, Sequoia envisioned a mark for each word. Girl.
A kahuza.
Boy.
A chuza.
Woman.
A geya.
Man.
Ashkaya.
Crow.
Koga.
Dove.
Kuledishkonihin.
Screech owl.
Wahoo.
Great owl.
Ugu.
Medicine.
Nawoti.
House.
Galchode.
Fox.
Jula.
Hello.
Shio.
But a symbol for each word became a cumbersome list of marks, which few could ever hope to remember. Then Sequoia tried a symbol for a sentence. But there were so many ways to make a sentence. Eventually, as he listened to the spoken Cherokee, this man Sequoia, who himself could not read in any language, put down a mark for the sounds he heard. 85 separate marks. It is told that once, when he ran out of ideas for new marks, he happened on a page of English, perhaps from an old newspaper which one of the white settlers carried, and from that print, he used many of the crooked marks for symbols to represent sounds in the Cherokee language. 85 symbols to represent all the sounds in the Cherokee language.
Na, qua, sa, da.
There was a great deal of interest in this way of putting down the language, and some of his friends wanted to learn. Soon they learned and taught others, and some of the quicker ones learned to read and write in 3 or 4 days. So in 1818, Sequoia was able to take written messages from Cherokee in the Arkansas settlement to Eastern Cherokee in Alabama. 10 years later, in the year 1828, with the help of Elias Boudinot as editor and the guiding hand of the missionary Reverend Samuel Worcester, the Cherokee printed the Phoenix, their first newspaper, in Cherokee and in English. Already, someone had begun to translate the Bible into Cherokee. And so you will still find it being read in the homes and churches of Cherokee today. But again, Sequoia went with a delegation to appeal to the federal government for help in defending the lands and people from the land-hungry and gold-greedy white men who had attacked their homes, pillaged their villages, and taken over their fertile valleys. Treaties, beginning even with the land agreement of the Cherokee and the British in 1730, had pushed the Cherokee back from the banks of the freshwater streams, up from the fertile valleys, and into warring with the invading white men. By the end of the Revolutionary War, the Cherokee had lost their land in West Virginia and Virginia, had been driven out of South Carolina, and were left with only a few hundred miles of the western corner of North Carolina, a portion of North Georgia, and a small eastern corner of Tennessee. But the new leaders stood for peace, a peace that held fast when Tecumseh tried to organize an army of Indian tribes to fight the whites in 1811, a pledge to peace that almost destroyed them. For in 1835, another treaty was signed by a few, ceding all the remaining Cherokee land to the federal government for 50 cents an acre, and land in Oklahoma. The cries of such men as Daniel Webster, Henry Clay, and Sam Houston went unheeded, and Congress ratified that treaty. John Burnett, a soldier in the United States Army and assigned to the removal of the Cherokee to Oklahoma, recalled,
"I saw the helpless Cherokees arrested and dragged from their homes and driven at the bayonet point into the stockades. And in the chill of a drizzling rain on an October morning, I saw them loaded like cattle or sheep into 645 wagons and started toward the west. One can never forget the sadness and solemnity of that morning. Chief John Ross led in prayer, and when the bugle sounded and the wagons started rolling, many of the children rose to their feet and waved their little hands goodbye to their mountain homes, knowing they were leaving them forever. The long, painful journey to the west ended March 26th, 1839, with 4,000 silent graves reaching from the foothills of the Smoky Mountains to what is known as Indian Territory in the West."
The march that was named for all history, the Trail of Tears. Back in the mountains of Western Carolina and Eastern Tennessee, amid that peculiar atmosphere that gave its name to these age-old mountains, smokiness still hung over the homes of those who had hidden and were free to remain. Up from the chimneys, smoke again curled and drifted, following the smooth green curves of the ancient Smoky Mountains. Back in the coves and down the narrow valleys, fresh green budded on maple and wild cherry, and mountain streams rushed by the whiteness of dogwood and blossom, and pink and purple of rhododendron. Once again, the young men hunted the deer and the black bear with the bite of a flint-tipped arrow, the spit of a blowgun, and the crack of the rifle. Again, the grating of stone on stone pulverized corn for bread. In the cabins, the crackle of corn and the sizzle of bean bread as the women cooked cooked over an open fire. Women began to sing again as they made baskets from white oak strips and river cane. And the young braves met to defend the honor of their clans in the rugged and tortuous Indian ball games. Young, strong men from the clans of Deer and Paint and Bird and Wolf. Today, the main thoroughfare is paved. And from spring beauty until frost blackens the forest color, visitors come by the thousands to enjoy the fresh coolness of the Smokies and the shocking cold of swimming in the mountain streams where rubber-booted fishermen wade in to cast their lines for the evasive bass and mountain trout. And they come to see the Indians. Cherokee, who don the brightly feathered garb of other tribes to fit the Western movies image, getting more tourist attention than the full-blooded Cherokee, authentically dressed in the headband with a single feather, which was the mark of this great tribe. Yes, they come from the mills and farms of North and South, the schools and towns of East and West, to this crossroads. By the thousands each summer they assemble in the Mountainside Theater to live in drama the story of the Cherokee trying to live in peace with the white man.
The name of our village is Oconaluftee. Oconaluftee means beside the river.
And visitors walk the paths of the Oconaluftee village where Cherokee tell and show in authentic dress of the ways of their ancestors 200 years ago, when the colonies were fighting for independence. And the people of our generation wonder at the eternal flame, the continuous fire of hope which traveled the Trail of Tears in 1838 from the Smoky Mountain hearth to Sallisaw, Oklahoma, and was brought back to burn again in the Smokies by a delegation of 7 Cherokee men who retraced the Trail of Tears in 1915.
But we came to Sallisaw on our way home, and we went 30 miles from the city of Sallisaw, where we got what they call the eternal fire. We used to hear this about this fire when we were little kids that was taken away when the Cherokees were removed. And we always thought that it was just burning on the top of the ground, but we found out different. The caretaker of that place, Chief Stump Smith, told us when the Cherokee first arrived at that place, they dug a hole in the ground about 4 feet, and they had big logs crossed up in all around, each way, and the timber was 7 different kinds, and they built a fire under it, and the fire had been gone all these times. And we took with us from here a big bucket, tow sack full of hemlock bark, put fire in it, and we brought it to Cherokee.
By the bridges and the ball fields, in restaurants and at service stations, these visitors meet and see Cherokee men, women, and children who have come by foot, by pickup truck, or by car from their cove and mountainside homes in Big Cove, Bird Town, Paint Town, and Yellow Hill to work, buy groceries, talk with friends, or to watch the tourists. By the side of this busy highway in a new concrete block church, a Cherokee man reads the 23rd Psalm in Sunday school.
Yehovah. Awajeli, Ahwe, Dictia, Asa, Yego, Kenego, Shahesti, Itse, Canula, Shah, Agin Shansko, Nasking, Akteniso, Ustedla,
and up the mountain, tucked at the end of a footpath, unseen to the visitor's eye, in a cabin, a Cherokee woman sings as she does hearth work, beating pieces of leather at home by her fireplace hearth to return to the Cherokee moccasin factory for assembly and shipping to more than 40 states. And from the bus station, a young Cherokee leaves for military duty in the army or navy of his country, which did not grant him citizenship until 1924. And in the valley, men and women report to their jobs at a modern brick structure that employs them on a 40-hour week, making quilted crib and chair covers for the standard market. A young Cherokee woman types in the office of the federal agency as a civil service worker. A school bus makes its frequent stops with its load of loud and happy children coming home from learning. And the tourists pass, not noticing, or with only a questioning smile, the signs that mark the district boundaries of Birdtown, Painttown, Wolf Town or Big Cove, seeing only the one that they know, Cherokee, North Carolina. For nowhere is there a village town hall, no evidence of the self-governing of the Quella boundary, except the small volunteer fire station with the police station at the back.
Now, the tribal council that we maintain here functions about the same as your city council. Every 4 years, we elect a principal chief and a vice chief by popular vote, and then every 2 years, we elect 12 council members to represent the people in these meetings, and then from our own tribal treasury, we maintain our own police, fire, and sanitation departments.
The elected chief and the elected tribal council, which represent the several districts of the Quella boundary, govern democratically, as the Cherokee have governed themselves for more than 150 years. Yes, here are the sounds, the continuous quiet sounds that flit across the mind when the hardness of reality needs softening a bit. But the way has been hard for these quiet people, the Cherokee, as down through the years they have struggled, those who bear the name of Owl, Squirrel, Crow, Running Wolf, Young Deer, Tisa Tusky, Hornbuckle, Ross, Thompson, Sequoia. Descendants of men who were living and hunting in the Smokies in 1540, when DeSoto marched through in search of gold, who built homes and lived in peace, and suffered the westward surge of the land and gold-greedy white man, who saw the nation divided by that disastrous trail of tears, and who still live their belief in peace, in love, and the brotherhood of all men. The sound of Cherokee, an everlasting sound which must not be forgotten.